Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the STEM Files, where we highlight the best and brightest in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. This is the 23rd edition of the STEM Files, Season 2, Episode 4. I am your host, Tariq Muhammad, Chairman and Chief Scientific Officer of Original Man Scientific. I also have my co-host with me, Brother Jabril.
Yes, sir. Peace and blessings, family. My name is Jabril Muhammad. I am the Vice Chairman, yeah, that's right, the right-hand man to Brother Tariq Muhammad, and also a budding materials engineer in the industry of materials engineering. Happy to be here, family.
Awesome, awesome. And today's guest is known across the country as the Math Doctor. Before we get into our host, I just want to do a personal bear witness to the skills of the Math Doctor. He did a lot for me as a child, and I never even met him. My mother purchased a lot of his materials involving how to teach math to Black students. It changed my entire perception and skill set in mathematics, and I thank him for that to this day. Please welcome to the STEM Files for the first time, Brother Shaheed Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Brother.
I thank Allah for the invitation. It's a blessing to be on this powerful radio station and online blog. And I'm looking forward to the few moments we have together. And I definitely appreciate being invited.
Great, great. Thank you for accepting the invitation. And so can you kind of give us a brief background of who you are, your experience and journey through in mathematics, and how you got to this point where you are now?
Yes, sir. Well, it's funny because I really originally started out wanting to be an astronaut. That was my original career goal in high school. But I ran into someone, and I asked them what I would need to pursue this career, and they mentioned I would have to go into the Air Force. And being a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan, I immediately said, okay, that's not the route I want to take. Then I wanted to go into aeronautical engineering. I had an Asian physics teacher at Penn State that I didn't understand at all. So I said, okay, I guess engineering is not good for me. And I always enjoyed listening to one of my algebra teachers in high school. So I kind of fell back on being a secondary ed math teacher. But I really think Allah, Master Father Muhammad, was guiding me the whole time, just the way things worked out and panned out. So once I set my mind to that, then I went to Penn State University, got my bachelor's in secondary ed math, and immediately upon graduating, I got a call from Sister Shelby Muhammad, who was a director at Muhammad University of Islam. This was in 1989. And she said that my application was accepted, and it just blew me away, because I never thought that, even though I put my application in, I never thought that I would be blessed to be a teacher at Muhammad University of Islam. I really thought that they were going to have some serious scientists and some serious scholars to be teaching, and I didn't consider myself on that level. So I began teaching, and I noticed that the students really enjoyed my classes. I mean, they were, you know, singing praises about the class, enjoying the math, enjoying the way I taught. So around 1995, Allah gave me the idea to write a book on how to teach math to Black students. And what I wanted to do was replicate what I was getting in my class to see if other teachers could use some of the same strategies, principles, and methods in their class. So the book came out. It did very well. I was self-published. One of the few believers that one of our saviors is selling books. And then later on it caught on. And now we have a lot more of our believers writing books. But after that, a lot of people would come to me and say, well, I read your book, but I need to learn math. I need somebody to teach me math. And I'm having problems with math. So I said, okay. And then Allah guided me to come up with the videos. So I got into the studio. It was a makeshift, low-budget studio. Wasn't no special effects. Technology was a little low-level at that point. But Allah blessed me to make some DVDs, I'm sorry, some videos first, that began to sell all over the country. I had some people that were buying them, and one brother said, recently I saw him at a convention. He was an African brother. He told me that he raised his children on the videos, and now they're in college doing very well with their mathematics. So I say all praise is due to Allah for that. But so once the video started selling, I went back into Lincoln University, where Dr. Abdul-Aleem Shabazz, one of the greatest mathematicians to walk the earth, I was blessed to be a student of his. He's my mentor, role model in terms of mathematics. He took me on at Lincoln, and after 2 years, I was blessed by Allah to get my master's in math. Came back to Chicago and began teaching at a college as well as Muhammad University of Islam. Once technology transformed and got upgraded to DVDs and videos were phased out, then I had to go back in the lab and make DVDs. So this is where we are currently with the Math Doctor program. We have DVDs now that we're selling all over the country and hopefully all over the world. But I have to say, I would not have received an appreciation for the importance of math, the relevance of math, and how crucial it is for our people to master math if it wasn't for the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I would have just been a regular math teacher at a high school somewhere, satisfied with a suburban house and a nice car. But it was the teachings that inspired me and showed me how powerful mathematics is, and that it's a must that everybody, in particular our people, master mathematics. So once studying under Dr. Abdul-Aleem Shabazz, he helped me see mathematics in a more powerful light as well. And we are now on a mission to raise our people up mathematically with their literacy and their competency. So I go around the country and I do workshops for parents, workshops for teachers, and workshops for the youth on teaching mathematics. And for the youth, I do a workshop on why they must master mathematics, why it's crucial, why it's pertinent that they become mathematically literate and competent. So that's just a hopefully brief commentary on my little road into the math doctor. And I want to say the math doctor is not a title that shows supremacy in mathematics. It's a service title where I'm trying to represent myself as one helping our people raise their level of mathematical literacy, because we have a lot of our people in particular that are suffering math ailments. So that's where the math doctor title came from. So all praise due to Allah.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And that clears up a lot of questions that anyone may have had in terms of your humility. I for one, knew that it was definitely an area in which you're serving. But now everyone knows that that's what that title is meant for. So thank you for clearing that up. And I want to go back to
that's one of my questions I had.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, I have to clear it up because sometimes people bring me on in my introduction. This is one of the greatest mathematicians. He can solve any problem. I'm like, what are you talking about? So we have to clear it up. It's a service title of humility.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. And I want to go back to your youth. You're very passionate about teaching the youth, but I want to know when your first introduction to math and science began. Was it when you were in high school, like before, or was it before high school, coming up as a child? Like when was math and science first introduced to you, and when did you realize, okay, this is the kind of career I want for myself?
Well, I really didn't have any like early sparks towards mathematics. The only thing that I remember is in high school, one of my high school algebra teachers, algebra was one of my favorite branches of mathematics, but I really didn't get a greater appreciation for math until, one, I began to teach it, and two, when I began to study more of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and seeing the power of mathematics in Islam and the power of mathematics just universally as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that is what gave me the springboard to know that mathematics was the route I wanted to take. And just the way that Allah blessed me, blessed the students to respond to me all over the country. That I knew that wasn't me, that it had to be Allah guiding me into this. Being blessed with a way to teach math where people understand it. So it's not that I'm so powerful in math, but I think Allah blessed me to be able to explain it in a manner where our people understand it. Because a lot of times our people are in these classrooms with these professors and these instructors, and they just can't connect to our people in particular. Even our Hispanic family are suffering in the area of mathematics. But we're at the bottom, unfortunately. So when I saw the response, the love that students would have for me teaching them math, and I knew that, man, that had to be something that Allah God wanted me to go into and put me on that mission. So I don't think you get a greater appreciation for something, and you learn it better once you start teaching it.
Yes,
and
sir,
so once I begin to teach math, then I begin to see all some of the inner workings in it, the importance of it, and I understood it better. So it really was no childhood spark, no one in the youth stage that really inspired me to go into math. It was really the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and beginning to be a teacher in the mathematics.
You mentioned that there's a great struggle going on with our people in terms of math. What do you think are some of the other reasons for the struggle, and why is it, and why it's so hard for Black people to get on top when it comes to learning math and things related to math?
Yes, sir. One, Minister Farrakhan teaches us that desire feeds the will. But our people, because they don't see relevancy in mathematics, they're not necessarily taught the relevancy of it. A lot of times the elementary teacher will just tell them, you need to learn it so you can pass the class. You need to learn it so you can know how to count your money, you know, and that doesn't work with this generation. This generation is tech savvy. This generation is, you know, this is a whole other generation that has a totally different mindset. Everything is quick, fast, and it has to have relevance. So telling them they need to learn math so they can count their money just is a useless rationale for the reason to learn math. I think they don't see the relevancy of it. They don't connect it to the things that they want to do. They don't connect it to their lives. Most of the curriculum in mathematics is based in white supremacy. One of the books even says that Pythagoras was the father of mathematics and music, which is just a bold lie. So when you see in your math book nothing but white men. Because when you Google the 100 greatest mathematicians, 90% of them, if not 95% of them, are white men. There's not even any women in there in the list of great mathematicians. You might find one Indian and maybe one Asian, but the rest are white men. So our people, we don't even think that mathematics is something that we originated or we're cut out to do. So we do the best we can, but we don't seem to master it. Another reason is the methodology that the teachers use. A lot of time it just does not jive with our people's rhythmic, visual, hands-on type of learning mode. You know, we are people that learn visually. We need to see things happen. We learn by doing. And the European way of teaching is just straight talk and chalk. You at the board, I give you 1,000 examples. Hopefully you'll learn it. If you don't, then we'll put you in special ed. You know, if math just ain't cut out for you. So, and the white men, those that are at the top echelon of mathematics, they keep it as an elitist science that only a blessed few that were born with genius can do. And so that's why, you know, most of the time when they show a mathematician is a white boy, you know, he maybe has the Einstein shirt on, E=MC² with glasses. Computer geek. So Black people don't relate to that. They can't see themselves as being great mathematicians because they haven't even been given any great math. when I go around and do my lectures, I always ask, name me five black rappers, five black sports figures, five black actors and entertainers. They can name me 50. And then when I say name me five black mathematicians, they look at me like I'm crazy. They can't even name me one most of the time. So we don't even see ourselves in the picture of mathematics. That's why we're turned off from it. And as minister teaches us, if you don't have the desire to learn something, then you don't have the will to do it. And with mathematics, as you all know, being in the technology and the STEM courses and majors, as you all have been blessed to be in, you know that physics, science, mathematics, you have to be disciplined in those disciplines. It has to be consistent practice in order for you to master it. And our people, we're just not into, you know, with all these distractions the world has to offer, we're not into spending hours studying mathematics outside of the classroom. We do what we got to do to get by. You know, so there's that discipline, the discipline aspect of it, and the consistent practice outside of the classroom that we lack in because we got so many distractions going on in our lives. And we just not, we don't have the desire and the commitment that it takes. It's like a musical instrument. If you're not practicing on a daily basis, a weekly basis, you're going to be rusty. And our people, we do enough to get by in terms of mathematics because we just don't see the relevance of it. That's why we have to have our own schools and our own curriculum.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Jabril?
Yes, sir. So definitely a lot of questions on that. You know, so you went into it already. I was going to ask about, you know, somebody might say, you know, well, you know, a lot of people need to learn, you know, mathematics. Why put an ethnicity? Why put a color or a race on it? Why we're teaching mathematics to the black child? So you started to speak to that a little bit, but I don't know if you want to go into that anymore, if you could, but I think that's a really good point for me to start on before I go into my next question.
I'm glad. I'm glad you brought that up. I actually had somebody write, I think it was a black woman too, wrote an article when she got my book or whatever, and was kind of upset with me calling the title of the book How to Teach Math to Black Students for the similar reason that you just questioned. And she's wondering, you know, it seems like I'm putting black people down and so forth like that. I responded, well, if you're in a hospital, you know, you got general care, you got normal care for somebody that's not really chronic, and then you got the emergency room. If you look at the statistics, our people are in the emergency room when it comes to learning mathematics. So I titled the book How to Teach Math to Black Students because we are the ones that need the remedy the most. You know, we're the ones and the last of the statistics in terms of mastering mathematics. So I begin in the beginning of the book, I say, even though the title is How to Teach Math to Black Students, these strategies and methods can be used for any student. You know, and I've taught white students, I've taught Hispanic students, you know, and all of them give me the same response when it comes to liking the class, learning more about mathematics after taking my class and taking these strategies and joining the class. So the title of the book was just to spark interest in the fact that we are in the chronic state. We are in the emergency room. We cold red when it comes to mastering mathematics. So I focus my attention and my mission on the ones that are suffering the most. Then later on we can spread out to others, but right now we at the bottom, so I'm trying to raise the bottom to the top.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then bringing me to my next point, you talk about a lot of people are satisfied in being proficient at something or mathematics. A lot of people, you know, even advanced. So why is that term mastery so important, particularly when it comes to a black man and woman? Why must we master mathematics in order to be successful in our lives?
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated, a people who do not know mathematics will always be subject to a people that know it. So it's no wonder we are at the bottom and been on the bottom for over hundreds of years is because we have not been allowed to master mathematics. Now, when we came over, the statistics show, and of course this is not taught in the math classes in all the schools across the country unless it's black-centered and has some kind of black history in it, but they stated that the slaves had better math skills than their slave masters. And the Minister Farrakhan always pointed out that our people, when we came over here, we were the architects, we were the engineers. You know, we were the builders. That's why they brought us over here. So we had a high form of mathematics, but what happened during the process of slavery? Why did the master see it fit that in order to keep his boot on our necks, he had to deprive us of mathematics? The slaves, when you read the slave narratives, they weren't allowed to read and they weren't allowed to figure. And figure is their word for learning mathematics. So the master knew that mathematics was something that would allow us to be rulers, you know, would allow us to build and be in a position over them. So they had to make sure that we weren't allowed to read and we weren't allowed to do math. But today we're pushing reading with no problem, but we're not pushing the mastery of mathematics. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad also teaches us that when you look at the black man and woman, you're looking at a god. So you can't be God without being a mathematician, because the supreme God is the supreme mathematician. So you can't do anything without mathematics. So it's, we don't need to just be proficient at it or just make sure we get a C and pass it. We need to, as you said, master it so we can build the new world kingdom, which is going to be based in mathematics, because that's the only way you can build anything. Every science floats on mathematics as its foundation, because you can't do any sciences without mathematics. So, yes, we need to master mathematics because we're put here to be masters of the universe.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, absolutely. That's, you know, it's so important when you look at that, because now you, those who are listening, and I hope we are, is that you can't help but listen to this and have a renewed consciousness about, like, oh, my God, math is that important? You know what I'm saying? Like I got to get into it myself or whatever. It really kind of shows that it's more than, oh, I can just do this problem. I can just do my multiplication tables. I can just add, or I can count my money, but now I can kind of create a reality for myself surrounding my know-how and my prowess when it comes to mathematics and the associated sciences. So thank you. So that's so so important. And I guess my last thing before I turn it back over to Brother Tariq is, and then you can talk about it a little bit, but what are some of those, I guess you can call it soft skills, or those, I guess, less apparent skills that come with or are buttressed by a strong foundation in mathematics?
One is critical thinking skills, definitely.
Yes.
Two, the ability to be able to solve a problem. So we learn the problem-solving steps, problem-solving strategies. Because, see, what happens is we think that word problems is a separate entity of mathematics that you can learn or you don't have to learn. So you have people saying, I love math, but I hate word problems. I mean, that's incongruent. That's like saying, I love swimming, but I hate getting wet. It don't make sense. Solving word problems is the essence of mathematics. The mathematics is a tool in order to solve any problem that we have in the universe. So you have to get into word problems. So you have to have problem solving skills, critical thinking skills. You have to have basic memorization skills, because there's a lot of mathematics is memorization. I mean, that's like that builds your foundation. That's not the ultimate, but you need those skills, as you're saying, soft skills, in order to master mathematics. Problem solving, memorization, discipline, critical thinking. I would say the ability to translate. I always teach my students that if you become real good at mathematics, you're going to be bilingual. You know, you're going to be able to speak English if you're an English speaker, but you're also going to be able to speak mathematics because there are two different languages. So if I say Bilal has twice the amount of bread as Maria plus 12, that's English. But in mathematics, you have to be able to translate that into a mathematical language. And a lot of people fall short in that, and that's why they fall short in word problems. Because in word problems, you got to be able to translate the words into algebraic expressions. So just like a translator has to be able to speak two or three different languages, in mathematics, you have to have that ability to translate, you see, to go from the abstract to the real. All that these are skills that are necessary in order for us to master math. And I just wanted to give you a quote from Snoop Dogg for all those that they may not take it from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I'll give you a quote from Snoop Dogg. He said, if you only know general math, and you only make general math money.
I like that.
So I'm sure all of us want to make calculus money. I don't know any of us want to make just general math money.
Right.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes, sir. Wow. Thank you so much, sir. Brother Tariq, back to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We definitely all want to make calculus type of money.
Calc 3 money.
I want that Calc 4 money.
There you go. It's a real analysis money.
Yes, sir.
Brand level math.
You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that our youth were able to earn a PhD by the time they were teenagers. I can't remember the exact date. I think it was either 13 or 16. At what age? How early should children learn math? Is there any particular age, or is that something that's done in the enemy's world to slow down the process of learning?
Powerful question. Right on it. We're taught by the Alma Mensa Louis Farrakhan a lecture series called How to Give Birth to a Guide.
And right.
In that lecture series, we don't wait till the baby's born. We don't wait till they can write. We don't wait till they go to kindergarten. Start that process of making a guide while the baby's in the womb. And then there's some things even Minister Farrakhan says before conception. If you're thinking about having a baby, there's things in preparation, you see? And this is the way our people would be when we were in our original state, when we wanted to make a guy, when we wanted to make a scientist, a doctor, whatever. We did things prior to even the conception of the child. But that might be a little too deep, so let's just go with the baby's in the womb. That's when you start. So the mother can be reading mathematics. The mother can be solving mathematical problems. The mother can be doing mathematics. And that goes into her mind, which goes into the baby's mind. And then as soon as the child comes out, because I have a special DVD just for the babies, I recommend it for 9 months all the way to like 4 years old. And it goes to, because it has music and it has images and little animation that helps the child to receive the information at their level. And we won't see evidence that the child is learning it, but the child is learning, because it's the first 2 years where the most learning of the child occurs. The fastest learning occurs in those first 2 years when that child's mind is like a blank page. So you don't want to wait till they become six, you know, like in the enemy's world. You don't want to wait till they become six and go to kindergarten. And what were they doing for 6 years? They lost all that preparation. And my wife, Sister Shahida, people think that I'm a good teacher. She is a master teacher. And she had a school where she had three-year-olds, four-year-olds doing fourth, fifth-grade math at that level. So it shows that we don't want to wait until they become 6 years old, you know, before they go to college. I mean, we don't want to wait while they get to kindergarten to state. We need to get them early. As soon as they come out that womb, we can start them addition, start them doing subtraction, start them memorizing shapes. You know, all that can be done. You just have to teach it at their level. But they can master it by the time they become three or four if we start them early and if we are disciplined enough to get away from all the distractions that take our children away. Like most of these preschools are nothing but entertainment and babysitting places. But my wife's preschool, the one she had, man, she was making guides at early ages, had them doing fourth, fifth grade mathematics. Science. It was just unreal. So she showed me that it can be done. Starting them early.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you also have a son that's named after you as well, correct?
Right, Shaheed Muhammad Jr.
And he and I actually share the same birthday. The exact same birthday. He's a little about 3 years older than I am. Did he benefit from your math, your the way you taught math? Like, did he benefit from your ability to bring the level of the mental level of a child up through mathematics?
Yes, sir. He actually got three. I actually have three sons, Jabril, Shahid Jr., and Jaleel. Jaleel currently, he was my student for about 4 years, I think. And he graduated Mohammed University early in his 11th grade year. And he's currently at Fayetteville State taking up engineering. And he couldn't do that without good math skills. So he's one example. And my son, Shahid Mohammed, he started out at Purdue, but he was going to go into engineering as well. Got bypassed and went into something else. But his high school GPA in math was high as well. So, that answers your question.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Really good math.
Right. Praise be to Allah. I just love seeing parents who have skill sets and they're able to not only give it to other people's children, but their own, you know, and that to me is because I've seen doctors, engineers, and they spend so much time with other people, but their children fall through the cracks. And this person's right here in your home, you know. So there's got to be there's got to be some way of even or balance with your professional life and your personal life, especially as it relates to something as important as mathematics. But speaking of dealing with you and your career as a teacher at Malcolm X College, what has been your most important or influential moment dealing with young people and teaching them? What has been the moment for you in dealing with young people?
Man, I would just say the response that I get from the students when they come back later on, as well as the response I get while teaching them. And in college in particular, we always have student evaluations. And with the blessing of Allah, I've always been one of the top in terms of students evaluating their professors. They have a site where you can rate your professor. And I do believe that with the help of Allah and blessing of Allah, there's two professors at Malcolm X that have five ratings, which I think is the top rating. And I'm one of them with the help of Allah. So when they come back and I read what they write, because they not only do they make the little bubble in for the evaluation, but they write comments. And I hear things like, I never loved math before until I took your class. I wish I would have had you in elementary, high school. And students from all over the country that have my DVDs or were raised on my videos, and I just run into them. And they want autographs, or they want to get a hug, they want to take a picture. They're telling me stories about how they made it through high school, through my DVDs. They wouldn't have passed the nursing exam without. So those are the high moments for me. It's the responses that you get, not necessarily maybe during class, but after they graduate, after evaluations are done, and you get to see how Allah blessed me to change their life in terms of understanding math better, appreciating it better, and just appreciating my teaching method. So I would say that is the high moments. So I don't have like one or two, but it's ongoing because I'm continually teaching more students, and Allah's blessing me to get the same responses from them. So I know it's all Him and not me at all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can definitely bear witness to meeting you and telling you how important it was for me to come across your material. I met you at the Boyz II Men conference last year in Atlanta, and I was starstruck because we're not spooky like that, but it was just good to meet someone that had a lot to do with the level of. It was just good to meet somebody that had a lot to do with where I am now, and I'm sure Brother Jabril can attest to it. Let's turn it over to Brother Jabril because I know he has some things to add to that as well.
Yeah, if Brother Jabril, I just wanted to add real quick. You know, it's because you mentioned something about when you met me. It's mind-boggling that you have people, students coming up to me, children, talking about, you know, look, mommy, he's not on the TV anymore. You know, just being struck by meeting me, and I'm not a rapper, I'm not a sports star, anything like that. I never would have thought in my wildest dreams that, you know, youth would respond this way, and adults too, because DVDs help adults too, as well as children. And people just giving me, you know, giving me props and accolades based on them watching the DVD and it helping them. So I know it's all praise due to Allah, because I never would have thought that would come from somebody teaching mathematics, you know, in the world we live in, where celebrities can be just a clown and a buffoon, and they're getting all types of praise and accolades, and then you see turned around where people appreciate somebody teaching math, and, you know, it's just a tremendous blessing and reward from Allah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely changing the image of mathematics. You know, it's you're definitely changing that and showing everybody that you can be just as important as somebody that is rapping or singing or playing ball, you know. So definitely we thank you for that.
Yeah, and we thank Allah for you all pushing STEM, because that's where we need to be. We got to get our people to realize that, you know, if you're not going into STEM, you need to go into something that's nation building, because the robot's about to take over everything, and the machines. And if you don't have the technology skills or the STEM, you're gonna be out of luck with many of these little menial jobs that we settle for, because we don't want to go through the discipline and the commitment it takes to get real nation building careers, and not these little frivolous things that Minister Farrakhan teaches us we shouldn't waste our time majoring in. So I thank Allah for you all pushing the STEM and waking our people up to see the reality that we can master all the STEM subjects, and all of them came from the mind of a black man and woman.
That's right.
That's it.
Man. Brother Jabril?
Yes, sir. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir. We can.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I hit the button or something, and I got off the call. You know, just like you were saying, brother, you know, I actually wanted to bear witness. So my mom had reminded me of a story. She said, when I was four, I learned math, multiplication and things around when I was four through, like, pictures. And at a certain point, she wanted to take me, you know, higher into, you know, math, and wanted me to be able to do, like, you know, multiplication by twos and everything, by threes and everything. So she had asked you, Brother Shaheed, I think I was around seven, how I should do so. I don't know if you remember this. And then she said that you said it's about mastering the facts and really all those principles that go into how multiplication works and everything. So she had told me texted me that before I got on the show, and I was like, man, that was like a long time ago. But you'd be surprised with how much things carry over and how things stick with you. So it's funny because, like, sometimes I don't even remember, like, how I learned certain math skills. It's just like, it's been so long, and just like you just know how to do it. And I'm like, I knew I was cool, but like those specific times where like that skill was taught, you know, sometimes you forget those things. So I just wanted to bear witness on that regard. But yeah, so thank you very much, sir.
You're blessed to have a powerful mother.
As well.
I praise Allah. You're blessed to have a powerful mother that's a powerful teacher as well. So she helped to lay that foundation for you. So,
and my brother and I were actually in homeschool for 7 years too, on top of going to MIA when we were young. So
that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, a lot of powerful students are being made by homeschool.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. But one thing I really want to talk to, because it's funny. When you study math, as you do it more and more, you realize how important algebra is, particularly to the understanding of all the other math principles, like trig, you know, calculus of any level, you know, differential equations, you know, integration, things of that nature. So I guess if you could speak, because I know you talked about it being one of your favorite branches, and you can speak to why it's so integral, integral to the study of those other math topics and how it really kind of is like the key, if you will, to be able to be a master of those other mathematical principles and other mathematical branches.
Man, you said it very beautifully.
Thanks.
But, yeah, see, one thing that I think our people, one reason why we don't necessarily do well in math is because those early years are so crucial. See, before you get to algebra, you have to have a strong foundation in arithmetic. And a lot of times when we're learning arithmetic, we don't know that there's key concepts in arithmetic that are going to transfer into algebra. And so you have people that are weak with fractions. You know, that's one of the common things people are weak in. But when you get to algebra, if you don't know fractions, you're not going to be able to do rational expressions. You're not going to be able to solve proportions. You're going to have a whole lot of problems just from that one concept on fractions. So a lot of our people, if they don't have good elementary teachers or a good foundation laid before they even get to kindergarten, then they're going to have a bunch of holes and gaps that they're going to bring into algebra. And as you said, algebra is that gatekeeping course or branch of math that leads into everything else, because you cannot do geometry without algebra. And as you said, you can't do trig. So the principles and foundation of algebra get turned up, if I can use that slang, they get turned up all the way into calculus, you know, and they get taken on a higher level. But you're doing pretty much the same thing. So if you have the mastery of you understand like terms, you understand factoring, man, when you get into trig, you understand how to factor, but with trig. Then when you get into calculus, you know how to do an integral, but you still get to factor. You see, so those skills and principles carry on, and when we're weak in any of them, it catches up with us in the next branch of math that takes us to the higher one. And so definitely what you're saying is true. That algebra is the doorway, and if you're strong with algebra, that'll help you be strong with all the rest branches, all the rest of the branches of mathematics, because that abstract thinking is critical when you move from the arithmetic world into the algebra world. So definitely I agree with you on that. But it's mathematics is a building block. It's like a pyramid. And when that base and that foundation is weak, it's going to show up as we try to build our mathematical understanding with higher mathematics. And this is where many of us suffer. Even myself, when I went to grad school, I didn't take differential equations. You know, I punked out in Penn State. I think I took day one, and once the instructor started talking, I was totally lost. So
yes,
I never actually took a course in differential equation, but here I am in a master's course, and there's certain master's courses where you needed to have differential equation. But because I didn't have it, I was weak and, you know, barely made it through in my master's program. So mathematics is like that. It's foundational things that if we don't get them, it's going to show up in the long run. Just like martial arts. Here you are trying to test for a black belt, and you're missing brown belt techniques. You're missing foundation of a yellow belt. You know, all those things that we take for granted. That's why I love that movie Karate Kid, because Mr. Miyagi was trying to show him foundational things. But he wanted to go kick somebody's butt. And that's the way some of us are with math. We want to go ahead and, you know, give me the algebra 2. Give me the trig. You know, I'm ready for that. But you still don't know fractions. You're still suffering with exponents. So algebra is that gateway course. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow. Thanks so much. You know, and as I'm listening, I think about, you know, my successes and, you know, struggles in math and, like, you know, coming across things and, like, professors being more concerned with their research than teaching, and then you happen to do rely a lot on the TA, but just always returning back to that the concept which you're taught in the Nation of Islam, and I like to speak to this. If people ask, you know, or you'll say, Islam is mathematics, mathematics is Islam. So there's a lot of pontificating that can be done. There's a lot of talking about what that means. But as a mathematician, as one in the Nation of Islam, like how do you interpret that, and what is a way to think about that in regards to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad means when he says so?
Mm-hmm. Man, that's powerful. That's why I taught a lecture on it. because it's hard to say it all in a few minutes. But suffice it to say, see, Islam is the nature in which everything is created. You see,
right.
And everything is created mathematically. So in Islam, we don't do things just because of a ritual or tradition. Everything that we do in Islam can be proven in no limit of time that is real, and it's in accord with all the laws that God put in running the universe. So Islam being mathematics means that Islam is as true as mathematics, it's as real as mathematics. It's not dogma, it's not theory, it's based in the nature in which Allah created himself and the universe. So everything we do, you know, there's a reason we have five pillars of Islam. You know, five is the number of power. We have five fingers, five toes, you know. I mean, five toes. Five fingers, five toes. We have five senses, you know. So everything we do in mathematics, there's a mathematical foundation that bears witness of why we do it. So we don't not a religion where, you know, a lot of religions, people are doing things because the reverend or the priest says to do it, but they can't explain it. They can't rationalize it. And one of the times what must be done, the minister said that any religion that doesn't have its root in science and mathematics in the universal order of things is what the socialists consider as a religion for the opiates. I mean, a religion is an opiate, you know, it puts people to sleep. And that's what a lot of the religions do. They just keep the masses asleep and docile because they can't explain basic things in their faith. But in Islam, as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister of Farrakhan, given to us by Master Elijah Muhammad, everything that we do can be proven. And in mathematics, everything can be proven true and sound. So that's one reason why Islam is mathematics, you see. It's not a religion of a bunch of theory, a bunch of opinions, you know, a bunch of rituals. Not the core root of what Islam is, and the core root of it is mathematics. So the teachings of the Honorable Muhammad were taught are rooted in math and rooted in astronomy, because you can teach Islam through astronomy. You start out with the sun representing Allah. You got the planets representing different people. You know, then you have Mercury being so close to the sun, like the messenger of Allah being close to the sun. You can't see the sun. You can't see Mercury without looking at the sun. So all of that science and mathematics is at the root of Islam, because all that is at the root of the universe and the universal laws. So we follow a religion that's not really a religion. As we know, it's a way of life.
Yes.
We follow religion, a way of life that's in accord with Allah in his universe, his universal order of things. And mathematics is at the highest level of that order of things. So that's one reason. And in Islam, we learn how to overcome emotion and deal with rationality and reasoning. So the core of the teachings on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is this reasoning in what we do. You see, we eat one meal a day. Why? Because a prophet said to do that. A messenger said to do it, and we just take it on face value? No, we research it. We get the scientific reason of why we eat one meal a day. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has that base in mathematics. It takes 24 hours to digest one meal. So if you're eating three meals a day, you need 72 hours to digest your meal. You see? So it's all mathematics. It's not just take it for granted. That's one reason I believe that Islam is mathematics.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But they also can get my tape. They also can get my tape if they want to. Go to themathdr.com and just ask for the Islam is Mathematics lecture, because I broke it down a little further and deeper with a lot more examples.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Awesome, awesome. We'll definitely provide more information on your books and DVDs at the end of the show. We actually have a caller who has a few questions for you. It's a sister. Right, sister out of Miami. Here we go. She's live now. There you go, Sister Bernice.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Okay, I have two questions for Brother Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
May Allah bless your family with the Irma and everything. I pray everything's all right with your family.
Yes, sir. By Allah's grace, so far, all of the believers here are fine. We have not heard of one person that has been hurt or injured or had any losses. So, by Allah's grace, we are safe. Yes, sir. I can definitely bear witness to how mathematics helps with the everything, because I use math even to teach reading. I use a mathematical formula. But I had a question, two questions. One question was, I noticed with students in general, they're either very good with reading or they're good with math. And so it tends to be either or.
Right.
Is there a way to find a balance and be, you know, to help those who say, well, you know, I'm just not good at math, you know, or is there such a thing? Because I understand that the teacher does make a difference, but some people are convinced that they're just bad at math and better at English, and vice versa. Those who struggle with English and reading, they tend to be more successful with math. That was my first question.
Right.
And the second one, I heard you talking about those foundational things after Brother Jabril asked his question. I'm pursuing a degree right now, and I'm having to take a course called liberal arts math, which I had never even heard of, but it basically breaks down a lot of what those terms, those foundational terms are. And having, you know, had to learn how everything is broken down, even to the point of explaining what a set is and having visuals and having to break down what a set is and what makes it a set versus not. Those things have really helped me to open up my mind more about math. So I wonder why something like that would not be taught on the elementary level. Why wait until college level? Because I find that I've actually been doing better with math since I've reached a college level as opposed to elementary.
Definitely. Okay. Your first question, I think it all depends on the foundation and how the child is raised before they get to kindergarten. If that parent is laying a strong foundation of reading and math, then I don't really see necessarily one mastering one and mastering the other, because to me there's a synergism of the two. In order to really learn math, now if you're just talking about memorizing facts and being able to pass on worksheets and pass some rote memory tests, then that's one thing. But to go all the way up on Bloom's taxonomy to where you're creating, synthesizing, evaluating, and analyzing, you have to be able to have reading comprehension. And as you mentioned, vocabulary. So there are skills in reading that serve as a catalyst for the mastery of mathematics. You see, if you can, you have to be able to comprehend. You have to be able to decipher when you're reading those word problems. And a lot of times we hate the word problems and do bad in them because of bad reading skills. You see, we don't have the necessarily decipher and analysis aspect of the reading that we need in order to break down those math problems. So you might have somebody that does good in computation and then they say they're not good at reading, or somebody that is good at reading and maybe not good with the problem solving and analysis aspect, because you have to have a marriage between the two. So I don't see them as separate. You're good at one and bad at the other. It's just how are they evaluating and assessing good versus bad.
Okay.
The public school mindset of a good math student is not necessarily so, because if they can't analyze and take it up into problem solving, take it up into proofs, justifications, all those things, you need good reading skills in order to be able to do. So there is some truth in terms of the left brain, right brain hemispheres and all that. You know, some people like to learn holistically, and the right brain like the pictures and the big picture and all that. And then you have the left side, which is more analytical and all that. But I don't see that you're born you know, with the ability to master one subject and not the other. I don't think Master Father Muhammad or Allah who created the universe created us in that manner where we only are blessed to learn one or master one subject. We have the ability to master all. It's just the foundation that's laid. And unfortunately, we're in a school system that was never designed for us to master mathematics or reading. It really wasn't designed for the masters to be masters. So we deal with a whole school system that's shot and on its way down. So we have to look at, you know, totally revamping the educational system, period, and having our own system of learning. But in your second question, that's another problem with the educational system. Because, unfortunately, you usually don't get into proofs until 10th grade geometry. Then you start seeing the two-column proof. But really, a first grader needs to be able to prove why 5 plus 5 is 10. A kindergartner should be able to prove why 7 minus 9 is a negative number. You see? How is that different from 9 minus 7? But because the teaching is at such a low level on that taxonomy, memorization, computation, being able to do some problem solving, and then that's it. Then you have to wait until you get into high level high school or college when you start seeing those foundational things that you should have gotten preschool and elementary. So all this liberal arts math for everyday living, all that to me is a bunch of crap. All that should have been in the preschool and primary grades. They need to know what mathematics is for. They need to know how to prove mathematics. They need to know the vocabulary of mathematics. They shouldn't have to wait to go to college to learn the importance and relevance of math. So we just have to push Muhammad University of Islam. We have to push independent black schools, Hispanic schools that are based on God, based on us mastering math, science, reading, and is focused on us becoming masters. And not just this madness that we're going through now where the majority barely make it through and a few elite get into those areas of mastery. So I hope that kind of helped answer the questions.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And thank you for the questions, Queen.
All right. Thank you so much, Sister Bernice.
Thank you, Brother Tariq. Assalamu alaikum.
Bless you. All right, well, that was great. Brother Shaheed, I had a question for you. It's actually something that I hear a lot with teachers. I have experience in teaching, especially in the MUI setting, and I know you have years of teaching under your belt, so I really want to ask you this. People say those who can't do teach. And I know that's a myth. I hate that statement with a passion. And I don't usually use it. But so how can you just bust up that myth for us and just kind of explain, if you can, where that came from and why and how it's not true?
Wait, say it again. I missed the quote.
The quote is, those who cannot do, teach.
Those that cannot do, teach.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Mm. Man, I heard that.
Right, and it's that
27 years of teaching.
Right, that's how ridiculous it is.
Oh, okay. Are they saying like, if you can't be a doctor, you can't be an engineer, then you settle for teaching?
Yeah, sir. They tend to say when you fail. Right.
Yeah, like in sports, if you can't make it as a NBA player, so you're going to coach.
Right. The next thing,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Man, that is a very sad, I don't even know what you want to call it, phrase. I mean, it just doesn't make any sound mathematical sense. How are you going to say if you can't be a doctor, then teach, when a doctor had to become a doctor by having a teacher? The doctor would not be ready to learn all he needs to become a doctor without teachers. So your major profession is a teacher. It's only in America that crap is put out there where teachers are looked down upon. But in Cuba and most of the advanced societies and countries, one of their top
careers and professions are the teachers. It's only here where you got a doggone rapper, you got a doggone reality star, you know what I mean? You have a doggone drug dealer put above the teachers. And that's why the society is going to hell, because they don't value education. And then that poison is put in the minds of our people and in the minds of the masses, where we look down upon teachers ourselves. But you would have nothing if you didn't have a teacher. And the first teacher is mother.
Yeah.
So how in the world can you have that type of mindset unless you take in Satan's perspective? And in Satan's world, I can see that. But in God's world, the teacher is one of the highest professionals on the planet Earth, because you would not have nothing if you didn't have a teacher. No physicist, no astronaut, no surgeon, none of that. Because all of them went to the basics to get the basics in order to have a foundation to build their STEM or their whatever career, psychology or whatever on it. So, no, that's beyond a fallacy. That's just pure satanic madness to say something crazy like that. Because you wouldn't have anything if you didn't have a teacher.
Right.
Right, right.
Yeah, but it's just the American community, that's all. Because in Cuba, your two top professions are the doctors and the teachers. Because they serve their people and they serve the citizens. And you don't have a future if you don't have health in a society that's civilized and educated. But not in America. You know, you can be any crazy, freakish person on the planet in America, and you'd be above the teachers.
Right.
You look at the salary they pay teachers. I mean, teachers have to moonlight.
Right.
Just to make it. So, yeah, that's pure madness.
What if the teachers really did make the six-figure salaries? How much of a difference would that make in America if teachers didn't really make, you know, six figure salaries like the basketball players do, or the brain surgeons or so to speak? How much difference would that make in terms of the attitude of a teacher or the dedication?
I think it would help. But if you don't get to the root of the problem, which is a mindset that is against education, that's a mindset that doesn't value education. See, so you can have a ballin' teacher, you know, making six figures, but if the parents are not raising children to respect teachers, are not raising children to respect education, and they don't respect education themselves, then you just got high-paying professionals that's teaching children. But the mindset of the society still is against those teachers. It's still against education, and then education doesn't become a priority. But you go to China, you go to Singapore, they raise their children from babies to respect and honor the teachers. And they teach them from babies that one of the most important things you can do is get a sound education, is to master science, master mathematics. See, they raise them from babies like that. So while we're trying to get our children to do the nay-nay, they're getting their children to master physics at 5, at 6.
Right.
You see, having them graduate college at 11 and 12 and 13 because they value education in their country and their society. So, yes, paying teachers higher will help, but if you don't change the whole mindset that disvalues education, then you never get to the root of the problem.
Yeah. That's right. Brother Jabril, I'm gonna soak that all in. I'm gonna let you eat for me.
So one thing I was thinking about is we talk about when you don't see yourself in something, you have less reverence, you know, or adoration toward a thing. Like when someone looks at the picture, the first person they're looking for is themselves, right? You know, they don't like care about what my sister or whatever looks like. It's like me, what I look like, you know, how is, you know, my good side, things of that nature. So, like, when you're talking to people or parents that say, like, my child doesn't like math, or people that don't like math, how can you show them and what they already do of good, what they're already good at, that how can you show them the mathematical principles, you know, in those things. And you already doing math here. You're good at this. You see how this relates to mathematics? That's one thing as a teacher myself, when I was teaching, and I actually asked you a question regarding this. I think it was Savior's Day or something regarding teaching at a bilingual school. But what are some ways or some examples of showing someone the mathematical principles in something they already do that they're good at to kind of give them a higher understanding and reverence toward mathematics?
Praise the Lord. You got to give them a lecture and a workshop and a presentation called Get Your Math On. This is what I do when I travel amongst youth. And I go through everything that they like and are interested in and show them math applied. They all like watching movies with stunts, action. I ask them, well, what do you think a movie director has to have to make that stunt? They got to have a stunt director, a stunt engineer. They can't do that stunt without math. Then I say, what happens when the math goes wrong? Somebody can lose their life. And I show them different stunt people that lost their life because they jumped at the wrong angle. They moved the airbag at the wrong degree or whatever. A wind blew their motorcycle while they were in the air, just a fraction off of where it was supposed to be. And they ended up losing their life. I tell them that's how important math is. I say, how many of y'all like to eat? Well, you can't cook without math. In order to cook, you have to know timing. You have to know temperature. You have to use utensils that got fractions on them. You have to know the science of the amount of spice to put in there. You know, just look at the show Chopped. That's mathematics. They have to problem solve. They give them something. They don't even know what the ingredients are. And they got to come up with something on the dime. That's mathematical thought. I ask them how many of y'all like sports. There's not one sport that doesn't require math. When you slam dunk or you shoot a basketball, you following a parabolic path. That's a quadratic function. You see, when you're playing tennis, you got to hit the ball at the right angle, at the right speed. If you change the speed on a ricochet or something, you mess up the shot. Pool, swimming, all that. Every doggone sport requires math. I ask them how many of y'all like video games. You can't play video games without playing it on a computer or playing it on based upon a computer program. And what's the language of a computer? It's not English. It's not Spanish. It's not Chinese. The bad boy's binary. Computer don't nothing but zero, know nothing but zero and one. So you have no God of War. You have no Madden 2019 without binary, without mathematics. How many of y'all like to wear the latest fashion? Well, a fashion designer has to use mathematics. They have to use scales, proportions, similarity. So I show them everything. How many of y'all like music, hip-hop? You can't make a beat without mathematics. You can't sing on time without mathematics. You can't rap to the beat without mathematics. Then I take them into nature. A bumblebee's a mathematician because he makes his hive in a hexagon. So how you fail in geometry and a bumblebee knows geometry better than you? Them into the leaves and the calculate the age of a tree. That's a mathematical formula to do that. So I show them almost everything that they can think of, and then I ask them at the end, I say, I'll pay you $50 if you can tell me somewhere that there's no math. And one student said, when you sleep, there's no math. I said, okay, you think you got me, didn't you? I said, aren't you sleeping on a horizontal plane? That's a slope equal to zero. Your pillow inclines your head to a certain slope. Your heart is beating at a certain rate. Oh, that's mathematics. Then one student said, I got you, Mr. Muhammad. When you die, there's no math. I said, don't they bury you 6 feet under? Isn't there a certain amount of worms eating your flesh at an exponential rate? Isn't there a funeral director getting a fat check with decimal points on it because you dead? Why that's mathematics? So there's no way you can show me anywhere in the universe where there's not math. Because if you just tell me air is full of molecules, which are full of atoms. You got positive and negative in that. So you just have to show them everything they can think of, everything they want to do, and everything they are doing has mathematics in it. And I have that in a lecture called Why We Must Master Math.
Yes, beautiful.
Ooh. I was totally missing music when you was breaking it down like that. I don't know. It was like the rhythm inside me. I was out here just like, oh, he's going in over there. Like, I was like, oh, man, got me excited. You said the pillow inclines your head off the horizontal of the bed. I was like, oh, my God.
They don't get that in the elementary, in the middle school. They just told learn math so you can pass the test, learn math so you can count your money. You know, little frivolous things.
Yes, sir.
But they need to know the core of mathematics being in everything is universal.
Mm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow.
Even an ironing board, you iron your clothes. The ironing board works because of the properties of a parallelogram.
Right.
So when I'm teaching it, I'm always trying to think, how can I take this lesson and make it real for the students? Because if not, they're turned off. It's a bunch of numbers and variables that don't have no meaning. So you got to, if you're a good math teacher, you got to bring in everything from the universe into your classroom so the students are inspired to learn. But most of these classrooms, because the teacher's not inspired about math, but they teaching math, then they pass that on to the students. Because to be an elementary teacher, you got to teach all five subjects. And how many elementary teachers really love math? Or are they just required to learn to teach math? But they don't really have that passion. And if you don't have that passion, then you don't bring all these things into the classroom for our children to master math and really want to learn it. And that's one of the big problems.
Yes, sir. I guess on that point, it's related, but just kind of going a little deeper. You mentioned how math is in all these different areas, how you can show it, and it's important to show it to show the relevance.
Right.
Can you also go further into that to talking about why it's important to always have a student mentality? Why, regardless of what you do, regardless of where you are, who you're talking to, why that humility and to be of the understanding that I can learn something from this situation, this person, this phenomena is so important, particularly in math, but also in mastering life struggles and really having life and having it more abundantly.
I'm trying to think. I know there's something called a player coach or something like that. It's like you can't, in order to be a good teacher, you have to be a good student. It's like they complement one another because they say that one of the highest ways to retain information and to learn something is to teach it. But in order for you to teach it, there's preparation that requires you to be a student, you see? So the more you become a better teacher, it automatically, mathematically implies that you have to become a better student. Because to teach something, you have to prepare and you have to know what you're talking about. So you have to be a student of the discipline that you're trying to learn so that you can teach it well, you see? So I'm constantly learning math the more I teach it.
Right.
And you become better. You become a better student by teaching, and you become a better teacher by being a better student. So it's like a cyclical system there where one complements the other, and you can't have one without the other.
Mm.
That's the way I would say it. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Mr. Farrakhan teaches that, you know, a good teacher is a good student and vice versa. And as wise as the Honorable Mr. Farrakhan is, he always tells us that he is also a student.
Yes.
And he is the supreme student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's what makes him such a great teacher.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have to do the same.
Yeah. Wow. All right, but Tariq, I think you got to eat for me now.
Yes, sir. Brother Shaheed, how can students and parents who are having trouble with math contact you?
Okay. My email is Math, DR for doctor, short for doctor, 12@gmail.com. My website is themathdr.com. And there I have a video clip of the Why We Must Master Math lecture that I did that started the tour. I also have my DVDs where you can shop books and DVDs. We have a math game that I came up with called Kapata Haki, which means in Swahili, make it right. Very good game for parents to get to their children. I'm looking for somebody. You all might be able to help me. I'm looking for a tech person that can take the game off the board and put it on a computer app where parents can
there it
download
is.
It
yep.
to the phone.
There it is.
We got you.
Home and service. Got it.
All right, send me an email. So we don't have nobody out there in cyberspace trying to take that here.
Yeah, there.
So those would be the best places to contact me, the email and then the website.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Is there any, can you kind of go over a little bit of your pricing in terms of your DVDs and your lectures?
Yeah, so we do, in addition to the products I have, I do workshops, always eager and always willing to fly anywhere on the planet to either speak to the youth, do a workshop for the teachers, or do a workshop for the parents. So all they got to do is email me, and we can make it happen. I'm not somebody like some of these speakers that's charging $250,000 to say nothing. I have a reasonable rate. And I work with people that, you know, may not have a big budget but want to make it happen. I'm always willing and able to lower prices, lower honorariums or whatever to make it happen, because the most important thing is getting our people and our youth to master math. The DVDs only sell for $10 and then $15 online because of the shipping cost, $5 for shipping. So you're looking at $15 for each DVD. And the books are usually mostly the same price as well.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brother Shaheed, for gracing us with your presence and being a guest on the STEM Files.
Thank you all so much. I enjoyed it. Thank Allah for what you all are doing. I'm looking forward to the conference coming up in November.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if anyone wants to know more about that expo, it's going to be November 11th, the Ministry of Science and Technology. Stimulate Your Mind is a play on the word stimulate, but we're replacing STEM with STEM. It's going to be November 11th, Chicago Health Washington Cultural Center. If you want to know more information on how to register, registration ends October 25th. You can go to noymost.org. Once again, it's noymost.org.
Man, I got to get on it because we're trying to bring some of my students there. So you said October 25th is registration.
Yes, sir.
And the registration. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Let me say nothing. Inshallah.
And if you have your students, really quickly, if you have any other connects, like you have people that have, you know, preliminary designs for things, any type of showcases, people with companies, we just want to have it be a major showcase of what's going on in STEM across the board, from business to academia to youth, and really make it a very, very, very interactive and really awesome showcase, sir.
Sounds good. Yes, sir.
Great. All right. Brother Shaheed, Yes, sir. Looking forward to that. And but before we conclude the show, Brother Shaheed, it's something that I want to ask you. And this is something that we ask all our guests at the end of the program. What does, and I usually ask, what does science mean to you? But but with STEM as a whole, we're going to focus on your area, which is math. What does mathematics mean to you? Like if someone was walking, like if an 8-year-old was walking down the street and asked you, sir, what is mathematics and why is it important to you personally?
Well, I guess I'll go to my book for the definition that I came up with the help of Allah. I would say mathematics is the mother of all sciences. It facilitates the building and establishing of the kingdom of God on earth. I would say mathematics is universal. And I would say to the person that asked me, if you look in the mirror, you're looking at mathematics. Mathematics is all through the human body, the anatomy, the functioning of our body is mathematics. So from the microcosm to the macrocosm is nothing but mathematics. And the more we understand the mathematics in the universe, the more we can tap into becoming that God and becoming rulers and masters of the universe.
Hmm. I bet you that'll change a child's life, that one statement alone. I'm sure there are tons of people out in the world right now that have never heard nothing like that. So I'm telling you, I pray that parents are listening very closely and are sharing with their children
because it'll like it did for me and Brother Jabril, it'll definitely change your overall scope and overview view of mathematics. And Brothers, we're going to do a quick OMS plug. Jabril, is there anything you want to add about OMS?
We did the on the ministry side, we did the expo. We also have on the OMS side, the competition. Are we still open for submissions for the competition?
Absolutely. The Young Innovative STEM Competition is an online competition where youth between the ages of 8 and 18 can submit an idea, game, tool, or invention, and we'll have cash prizes as well as an R&D contract with Original Man Scientific, where you can create and market your invention or innovative product. Also, if you want to know more about anything regarding OMS, just go to www.omanside.com. Once again, that's OMANSCI.com. And we can also send you a free brochure as well if you visit our contact page and request a free brochure.
And that's powerful.
Yes, sir. Praise
you. You know what? I did want to announce anybody in the Chicago area for that conference. It's November 11th. I will, with the help of Allah, be presenting a lot of what I mentioned tonight about the why we must master math in the presentation I'm going to do. So if they want to get a little deeper and to get more thorough information on that, please make sure you all attend, spread the word, and let's push the mathematics, science, technology, and engineering as much as we do rap, singing, dancing, and acting the fool.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have tons of presentations at the expo, a math presentation. We're going to have a sickle cell presentation, my sister Tahira. We're going to have a Navy Beam presentation by myself as well as others that will be helping me out with that. We're going to be having presentations as it relates to physics and engineering as well. And that's during the morning portion of the expo. And then in the evening, it will be a keynote address by Student Minister Nuri Muhammad on the importance of using science to build a safe and decent community. So once again, that's right. Just go to NOIMOST.org. That's NOIMOST.org. All right, brother, you have anything you'd like to add?
Well, you know, I got to finish off with that. This has been yet another cracking open of the STEM Files with Brother Shahid, a.k.a. the Math Doctor. Not a boisterous title, but a title of humility, a servant title, as he so eloquently said before. I'm your co-host, Brother Jabril Muhammad, and this is Brother Tariq Muhammad. We love to continue to have you. Brother Tariq, do we know who our guest is for next week?
Yes, we do. Our next guest is, I think she's 19, 20. I can't remember, but I know she's under 21. And it's Selena Wilson. She's doing research in health psychology and in terms of pregnancy and postpartum as well. So definitely look forward to that next weekend, September 24th, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. We're going back over to the sister side. I'm here to see what our young, powerful women have to offer. And we're going to get a little bit more insight on health psychology, how we can help ourselves, and you know what we can do to further ourselves in that area. So, again, this has been the STEM File. I'm Brother Jabril Muhammad, Brother Shahid, Brother Tariq. Thank you all so much. Looking forward to you all listening next time.
Praise the Lord. May God bless you all, too. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam. Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening. Peace. Thank you.